Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and a very happy new year to you and you. Welcome to Secret Artists Podcast. I'm your host, Annie McGrath, and I'm joined this week by one of my absolute faves. Her name is Beth Rylance. She's a brilliant comedy writer and actor. And we had a lovely chat. We talked about her recent trip to LA and her not so pleasant experience of having a stalker. There was a little bit of an issue with the recorder near the end when we were talking about this, so we switched to another microphone. So you might notice a little change in audio near the end, but try not to worry about it, for God's sake. If you want to see mine and Beth's paintings from the episode, remember to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Secret Art Pod. See you on the other side. Beth Rylance is a fantastic actor who started her career in the original cast of the Channel 4 hit show School of Comedy. Since then, Beth has been in loads of TV shows such as Plebs on ITV, Turn Up Charlie on Netflix, and lots more. This year, Beth is set to appear in Good Omens 2 on Prime Video and in Disney Plus's... How do you say Disney Plus's?
Disney Plus's.
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 Series Extraordinary.
Ah.
And I'm very excited to have her on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Hello, Beth.
Hello, Annie.
It's always awkward, that.
Lovely.
Sorry.
To meet you.
Lovely.
I was really
you.
Nervous about that because I was like, there's nothing. There's nothing to
there's
say.
There's loads. I actually cut stuff because I was like, it's a bit long.
Oh, what were you going to cut? She was in an advert.
Lots of adverts, lots of short films, lots of like online web series.
Yeah.
Cool. I've got those photos now.
Okay, amazing.
We're on.
This is
happening. Feels weird to see you in this context because I feel like we haven't really caught up about your LA trip.
We haven't.
So our catch up
is
going
to be recorded.
Nice. For everyone's consumption.
It feels kind of like I never went now.
Yeah, how was it?
It was really great and I loved it and I think I didn't want to leave, but then now that I'm here, it just doesn't, it's like full circle,
yeah.
And like 3 months didn't happen.
It was a dream.
Which is, there's a lot to be said for time.
Time is really underrated, actually.
Yeah, time's really underrated. And I really experienced it in the past 3 months.
And we're going to paint a picture from your LA trip.
Yeah, but I've got three, as you know from my texts, I've been panicking about which picture, because one of them is a picture of me.
I think it's
too vain.
Picture of you.
But it is from LA.
You look very fit and you're wearing Minnie the Mouse ears.
I am, because I went to Disneyland on my last day.
It looks like you've been photoshopped into the foreground of the photo.
I think it's portrait mode, which is something I never use.
Blurs the background.
And I think blurred backgrounds are a big red flag.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like what's going on? What are you hiding? I want to see what's behind me. It's obviously Disney.
It's quite good because there's a lot of kids in the background. So I think it's
for legal reasons.
Yeah,
we can't paint them because
we cannot
get their parents' permission. The reason why I thought that would be a good picture to use is because when I was 15, there was a boy who was madly in love with me.
Aww.
Who I did not love back. It was really sad. But he was a very good artist.
Yeah.
And he drew a picture of me, a portrait of me, for my birthday.
Aww.
He used to draw in biro. You know those people that are really good at biro drawings?
Yeah.
But he was also very good at painting, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
And really good at painting pictures of people.
Of you, specifically.
Of me, yes. There is more to that story. But he drew a picture of me and drew the background as Disneyland because he was like, this is your favourite place.
Whoa. But you've become the artwork.
Yeah, but the picture of me was very good, but one of my eyes was bigger than the other in the drawing. And I was like, why is one of my eyes bigger than the other? And he was like, because you've got one eye, one of your eyes is smaller. And I was
I'm staring into your eyes.
One of them, I'm not going to say. No, one of them is slightly smaller. And you
is the right one slightly smaller?
Can't remember. Don't look at me.
I'm going to be staring at you for the whole
But basically, podcast. That was how I found out.
Have you got a lazy eye?
No, I don't think so. Does it look like it now?
No, not at all.
What a way to find out. This was supposed to be a healing process.
And this is the person that I was like going to paint another. Fan.
Yeah, thinks you're paint like another picture of me with my eyes the same size. In fact, I haven't even zoomed in to see if one of them
is
smaller.
I'm tempted to just do you just with one massive eye.
With a one eye, just the one.
Oh, it's such a nice picture. It looks like a very magical. Who took the picture?
My friend Chloe.
Not the artist who was in love with you?
No. As a unfortunately, we parted ways as friends and anything else.
That's nice. And how did he give it to you? Was it like...
It was rolled up. It was like on a big piece of paper.
Paper.
Parchment. And it was rolled up. And then, with a long love letter on the back.
Did he like hand it to you or did he leave it somewhere for you to pick up?
I think he handed it to me. Mm. Further down the line, we did.
Restraint order. My friend
Will Poulter, who was in the original School of Comedy with me. I don't know if there's been another one. The original, not the remake. And we went to this person's house because we did all go to school together. And Will found a bunch of paintings of me that I hadn't seen.
Oh my God.
With a big cross over my mouth.
No.
Yeah, so there's a reason
why
we
did that.
Cheers!
That feels like, what's that show on Netflix?
You.
Feels quite you. Doesn't
it's
it?
Very me. It's
creepy
very me.
Stalker vibes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first picture.
Yes. The other pictures that I have, one of them, very LA, is a picture of a fountain.
That is stunning.
On a lovely day out, I went out with Kyle Smith Bino and Jack Barry and Lola,
friends of the podcast,
friends of the pod, and Lola Rose Maxwell, and we went out on a swan boat, and that picture is the POV from the swan boat.
It's so idyllic. It looks like you're in heaven.
And there is a rainbow. I forgot to mention.
But
there
you're
is
in
a
Hollywood.
Rainbow. We're in Hollywood, baby.
There's and a
there's
rainbow, sort
a
of
rainbow over the fountain,
shooting over the fountain.
Yeah.
And then there's some palm trees in the background.
There's palm trees. There's a lovely blue sky. Not a cloud to be seen.
That does look nice.
Some lovely...
Were you tempted to move out there?
Yes. But it's so expensive.
Is it?
Especially when I got there, the pound was at a 30-year low, thanks to Liz Truss being Prime Minister for 2 weeks, to the dollar.
I forgot about
so
Liz Truss.
I spent 30... On my first day there, I accidentally spent $30 on two scrambled eggs on one piece of toast and a cup of tea. And that was it popped up on my Monzo immediately and it was like £30.
Imagine you just had one egg.
Like, shit, just one egg, I know.
£15.
Cost of living crisis.
You've got to cut down on your eggs.
I really do. So it was insanely expensive, but I got the bus everywhere, which I loved.
Yes, everyone get to see new places.
Yeah, but everyone was very weird about that, especially American people.
Is it the Metro or what do they get?
Yeah, everything's called the Metro.
Metro or Subway?
Even the Subway is also called the Metro.
Right.
They just call all public transport the Metro.
That sounds very confusing.
It is really confusing, but it's great. Yeah. It's $1.75.
Great.
And if you change from bus to tube, it's like I'm doing a campaign for it. If you change from the bus
and
to
now
the
you
train,
work for the
and
Metro.
Now I work. And so that's why I'm going back because I've got some trains to run.
Okay, so that's picture two.
Yeah, picture two. And picture three was another day trip in LA. I went to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery and found lots of funny names on gravestones.
I love this image.
Should we do... Well, we can do that one. This one is just a lovely... For the listener.
Yeah.
A lovely sort of... What do you call it? What colour? Like brownish, reddish?
It's like terracotta-y.
Terracotta with the lovely name in the middle that just says Rude. Capital letters, Rude.
It's very funny.
Look, there's someone in the back called Zygmunt. What a great name.
Oh, that is a good name. That's what people do to like think of baby names, isn't it? Walk around graveyards.
I used to live on a graveyard when Did I lived you? In Liverpool, and we used to walk through and pick, like, they had like Elsie, like, what's the one that I love? That's quite cute.
I'm going to start, by the way.
Yes. Okay, yes. Wow, speeding things up.
No, I want to get this right.
Okay. I'm going for...
So you used to live in a graveyard. Sorry, I didn't mean to shut that down.
You used to live in a graveyard.
Starting.
And it's great for finding old lady names or just old people names. Am I going for an angled brush straight off the
bat? Weirdly, the first thing I've done is just some neon orange.
I quite like that. Imagine if to spice up a bit a neon orange grave.
I'm sorry that the only blue is like a powdery blue.
Yeah, but there's no dark blue.
Yeah, that's a black.
Thank you.
I mean, you can see. You're not.
Could you just talk me through what these are? What colours?
Well, we have had colourblind guests on the podcast before.
Have you? Yeah. Okay. Imagine if this is how I find out I'm colourblind. I'm like, that's...
You do the gravestone. Yellow. Bright purple.
Yeah. I think I've gone for too skinny. Like, it's too much of a skin colour. Like this.
It is quite a skin colour, though.
The white skin colour crayon that you used to get in each pack. It's quite like pink pig.
Pink pig.
Percy the pig.
I like this. We've not done a graveyard yet on the pod.
No, I thought that was brown and it's green.
I'm sorry that we're not painting you as Mickey Minnie Mouse, though.
Well, no, look, but I told you the story. I shared my trauma and
I wonder what this guy is doing now. Do you think he still loves you?
No, well...
Has he been in touch since you've been an adult?
Yes, he has been in touch since I've been an adult, but I do know that he has a baby. And he is still...
Name? Beth.
A what?
Name? Beth Rylance.
Oh god, yeah, it's just named after me, and it's got one eye bigger than the other, but it's, yeah, and he's still an artist, I believe. I think after he drew that picture of me, he moved into photography, because I didn't love him back. Such a shame, isn't it, really? I know, I was madly in love with a runner.
A runner as in someone who ran like marathons?
No, from a production company.
A tea and coffee boy.
Yes, yes. Love people. I really like tea. I really like tea. Maybe that's my type. People who make me tea. Yeah. Were you ever a runner?
I think I did a couple of running jobs, but I wasn't like employed permanently as a runner anywhere.
Yeah.
Were you?
No.
I went straight into
showbiz, baby.
Yeah. How was being a child actor?
Being a child actor, do you know what? It was weird because I don't think I ever particularly felt like a child because I was like so...
How old were you? Were you like 12 or something when you did that?
No, I think when School of Comedy started, I think I met Laura Lawson, who was my drama teacher at school, who was the executive producer of the show.
Mm-hmm.
She was my drama teacher when I was 12. And the whole premise of School of Comedy was that it was kids performing, like acting like adults.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent all my time trying to act older than I was.
But weirdly, I watched a few clips from it this morning. Yeah.
So embarrassing.
And Will Poulter looks about 10, and you look exactly the same as you look now.
Yeah, it's because I'm a vampire.
But I couldn't tell if you were older than the rest of them.
No, I was the oldest one. Right. I looked old. I just couldn't tell if you'd had any work done or...
is she a child? She looks exactly the same now.
Yeah. No, I was the oldest... which was great for me because I got paid slightly more.
Did you? That's
because
good.
I was over 16, and it also meant that I never
did they know you
had
paid?
To have a tutor.
Oh, nice.
Do you know what? I don't think any of us had agents at the time. We got agents because of it. So
mm-hmm.
Will Poulter had an agent. I'm sure he'd already done a film. But
what film had he done?
He'd done Son of Rambo with. I say with Adam Buxton. Adam Buxton has like a side part. He's like a supporting
oh, cool.
character. But it's Will Who else was in it? Oh no, maybe Adam Buxton. Adam Buxton played the teacher and someone played the dad.
Mm. Are you still mates with Will Poulter?
I am. We share a godson.
Aww.
So we were hanging out with him the other day.
Adam Buxton?
Yes, Adam Buxton is my godson.
So did people sort of recognise you from School of Comedy as a child?
I'm not so sure any... But sometimes people do now still.
Because it really...
Because I still look exactly the same. But it really takes me aback because I think I sort of forget. But weirdly, how I met Kyle, friend of the podcast, was at a party in Edinburgh where I think it was the Dave party, the one mm-hmm. when it was in like a massive church. Did
yeah.
you go to that one?
Yeah, I remember seeing you there.
Did you go to that one?
Obviously, you don't remember seeing me.
Yeah. No, I do. But I didn't meet you there, did I?
Yeah. No, I didn't meet you for the first time there, but I saw you
yep,
there.
Yep, we, yeah, we knew
you have quite well me. That's fine. You're a child star, I get it.
It was just really swamped with people recognising me
yeah,
at the Dave
sure,
party.
Sure.
But that was the first time in my memory that I met Kyle, and he pretended, because we still run a school called School of Comedy where we teach improv comedy to children of the rich and famous.
And at least someone's doing something good for society.
Yes, we're just giving back. Basically, Kyle pretended that he used to be one of my students, which at the time, because I was at the Dave party and obviously off my tits, really confused me, because he was also, my friend Tara, who I work with, was also saying, "Do you not remember him?"
Oh, that's
so I thought for ages, I was really confused because I was like, but he's older than me. But yeah, that was because he recognised me from School of Comedy because he really liked it.
Oh, that's
which is
nice.
Very nice.
And did people at the time stop you, like, as a child and be like, are you in that show? As a sort of 16-year-old?
I think it happened more when I got older, because it kind of felt like, from what I could gather from other people, kind of felt like one of those TV shows that you saw as a child and were like, does anyone else remember that weird
yeah,
show
yeah.
where it was these kids and they were doing adult comedy?
Do you think the audience was primarily kids, because it's obviously targeted
yeah,
at
like,
adults?
Really weirdly, Nathan Foad was a massive School of Comedy fan.
Oh.
And I remember before I knew who he was and before he was a ginormous success, he used to send me messages on Twitter because he loved School of Comedy so much.
That's sweet.
So then suddenly when he came into the industry and started doing his own stuff, I was like, I really recognise the name Nathan Foad.
Like,
and it was because he was one of our top fans.
That's cute.
And a lovely boy. And look how well it's done for him. I think
yeah.
we really inspired him.
So how did the exec choose you? Was it an awkward process whereby lots of kids weren't chosen to be on the TV show?
Do you know what? I think, weirdly, because when we first did it, it was from school. We took an Edinburgh show up to Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. Ever heard of it?
I've heard of it.
We took a sketch show up to Edinburgh. And at that point, George Mackay was in it, mm-hmm. famous actor from to movies,
mm-hmm.
and he left because his mum said he didn't want to get typecast doing comedy, and I think we can all agree it's gone very downhill from there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we basically took a show up to Edinburgh, and because I was a child, I don't really know the ins and outs of it. I just know that then we got a pilot, and we did that for Channel 4, and then we got a series. And we found out that we got a series when we were in Edinburgh.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably all sorts of... We're definitely Nepo babies.
I know. Thank God for Lily Allen, who's got our backs.
Yeah. And my dad, Mark Rylance, really helped me get a leg up in the industry.
Shout out to Mark Rylance.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Have you ever met him?
I have.
Have you?
I sat next to him in the theatre once, weirdly seeing George Mackay in a play...
Did they just sit next to each other because they thought you were together?
Well, I went I can't get the right colour green of this grass.
Look how good yours is.
No, but I can't get the right green at all.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
I went to go see this play, and basically when I was picking up my tickets at the Old Vic, yeah, that's the big one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I gave them my card to, like, I don't know, confirm my name or the card I bought it on, and the guy behind the counter went, "Oh, are you a relation of Mark?" And I went, "Oh, I always say that I am, because I always say that he's my dad as a joke to annoy my actual dad, Phil Rylands." And the guy went, "Oh no, just because your seats are next to each other, so I assumed you were together." And I was like, imagine, but if Mark Rylands was that cheap that he didn't he made his relations pay separately to sit next to him.
That is a very big coincidence, though.
And then I did.
And then your dad
ends
up sitting on the other side.
Yeah,
of the thing.
Yeah. And then they had a fight over who got to take me home. Weird. He was very nice, very quiet, and quite small.
Very quiet. I guess he was watching a show.
It would be weird. He was. Yeah, he didn't talk at all when the lights were off. It was really weird. Kept going really quiet.
How was... You were in LA doing The Groundlings, right?
Yes.
How was that?
Loved it.
And can you explain a bit about it?
Nope.
No, I shan't say anything.
No further information. You sign an NDA when you get there. I need a thinner. That's what I need, a paintbrush.
Go for it.
I've always wanted to do The Groundlings because when I was at university, I used to watch SNL every Saturday, well, Sunday because of time difference, etc. And I basically loved Kristen Wiig and found out, I think from a podcast, can't remember which one, that Kristen Wiig did The Groundlings. Like, that's what she went to LA to do. She sort of didn't do any acting until she was like in her 30s.
And it's an improv and writing course, or just improv?
It was just improv, this one. But they're very, like, character-based. They make you do... It's... Obviously, you do all the normal improv stuff.
Like, what sort of thing? I feel like improv's just not big over here at all.
Obviously. Do you think?
Well, I think it's getting bigger in the last, like, 5 years, but it's not big in the way it is in America.
Yeah, like, it was a weird thing to sort of behold, because I was the only English person, and so yeah, it's like improv games, like, you know, just teaching you how to not block and yes and yada yada yada, but American people, like, there were people there doing it because they were like, well, I want to. There's like two sections of people. There's people who do it because they want to get better at thinking on their feet for business and getting better at public speaking.
Oh,
and
so you not just go comedians or actors.
Well, I did two courses, so Groundlings was definitely more performers.
Yeah.
But UCB, there were quite a few people in UCB who were like corporate people who wanted to learn how to, I don't know,
get to the top.
Yes. Lots of them didn't complete the course because I think they hated it. Oh, look at that green.
Nice.
That's slightly better.
Yeah, that's really good.
What was my point? Something about
improv. So you were the only British person
there? I was
there.
The only British person, and I went to go and see the Groundlings main company show because they give you a student ticket.
Mm-hmm.
A student card, so you can see shows for free, so you can see the creme de la creme of improv.
And how do you get to be in that?
You have to go through every level of the Groundlings just to do a sketch show.
Wow.
Which blew my mind.
And does anyone not pass?
Yeah, loads of people. You can just do, like, I could just never go back now. I want to do the next level, but you don't have to. Like, anyone... you can sort of, anyone can do like the introductory level, and then you have to pass in order to get on to the next round.
Okay. But, and if you don't pass, can you just like retake
you it? Can redo it. Yeah.
Interesting.
But it was like they, so the main company, it was a bit more, it was less, I went to go and see improv shows there, but there was, how do I make grey, white and black?
Yeah, that's just white and black. You've got to go to art college to learn that.
Yeah. Less improv, more art school. I forgot what I was saying.
So the main show.
The main show I found really interesting because it was very good and the performers are really good. But it was like, you know, look, you do sketch. We all do sketch. It was really SNL style, like, but it was a live show. Lots of character stuff, and every single character had a wig.
Okay.
And matching shoes. They had, each character had different shoes. So in between each sketch, it would be full blackout. Whoever was on stage would go backstage, completely change, like, wig, clothes, shoes. A band would play a song.
Oh my God.
And then they'd come out and do the next sketch. And I was like...
that sketches rather than improv.
Yeah. But that's what it leads up to, because the Groundlings is very, like, character. That's why so many people from SNL went to the Groundlings, because that's where you develop your characters, as it were.
And did passing... I assumed you passed.
I passed.
Congratulations.
I passed.
Did that make you want to go back and, like, do more levels?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was... I think I kind of preferred, because I ended up doing UCB as well, which is the school that Amy Poehler set up with some other people that I don't know. But that was their sketch group, right? They were called the Upright Citizens Brigade, and then they set up the school. I kind of preferred it there because they gave you much more feedback and notes.
Yeah.
And I am a people pleaser and I like people telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Because I'll do it exactly how you tell me to. So that I found that, like, format more useful. Format, style of teaching. But yeah, I definitely want to go back and do more. Because it's essentially what I do when I teach kids, except you get to play all the games.
So have you sort of learned games that you're going to...
Yeah, I've got loads.
Great.
I've written them all down.
She's very conscientious.
Steal them and do them here.
And has doing improv made you want to do stand-up, or do you think of them as totally different?
They're totally different. But part of the reason I did it is because I wanted to be less scared of getting up on my own on stage. I don't mind doing it with other people, but the idea of doing it on my own is petrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tried stand-up twice.
Have you? I didn't know that.
I did the Amused Moose
competition
with James McNicholas. We both signed up to do it.
When was that?
I think that was in 2017, maybe 2016. But we hated it.
Wait, did you do a double act or did you...
No, we did it separately. I'd never, ever done stand-up before. And it was literally the first round. And so you had to come up with... I think it was 90 seconds of stand-up, which is quite a precise amount of stand-up.
Yeah, I think I did that in like 2010 or something.
And it's really hard.
It's very stressful.
Yeah.
And the audience is made up of people also auditioning.
Who are forced to sit and watch you. Like, you're not allowed to leave.
A really hostile environment.
It's a horrible environment. And I got there... like, having signed up with James and both sort of doing it, like, supporting each other, like, moral support. And I get there, and we got there quite like just before it started. So then you had to go up to the front and like get a ticket or something for your number.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, great. So at least I won't be on first. And then they called out. They were like, okay, right, we've chosen randomly the order that you're going to go in, and no. I was first.
Oh God.
It was fucking petrifying.
That's do you the get? Worst I mean, position to
you're
be in, I think.
More confident. You are a stand-up.
I still think it's scary, though.
Do you blank out what you've said? Like, do you just go blank?
As in, do I forget what I'm going to say, or do
no,
I?
No, like when you're on stage, I just don't remember what's
oh,
happened.
I see.
Because I'm so nervous.
No, I think I do, but I mean, you've done two gigs.
Yes,
I think
sure, and I'll never do another.
Once you've done a few more than that, you sort of, you just get better at it and a bit more relaxed, and I think you can remember. I mean, there's obviously gigs that are absolutely awful, and you try and forget them as quickly as possible.
Sure. I did so after that, I did one more, where it was like, it was Tessa Coates had a new material night,
mm-hmm.
and it was Tessa, Lucy Pearman, Phoebe Walsh, mm-hmm. and Flora Anderson. And the only feedback, we all had a drink afterwards, and the only feedback that I got was, you looked so pretty.
Well, I mean, that's positive.
You looked really pretty on stage.
What feedback
like,
from them?
Yeah.
Wow.
My friend who I used to work in a bar.
Sort of a backhanded compliment, isn't it?
Sure. It was like, you're very, look, it's nice to be called pretty, but...
I'm surprised that the gals came to you with that compliment.
Look, it was 2017. It was a different time. It was a different time.
But you are very pretty.
We hadn't
nice
had
to be
Me Too,
that.
I don't think, at that point of time. Had we? Don't remember when Me Too happened.
I can't remember. Was Me Too? I think it was pre-pandemic Me Too. Could have had it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just starting.
Yours is so good.
Well, it's not so good, but it's... You know, I've put paint
I like
on
your
the
colour choices.
They're not accurate, are they?
Yeah, but it looks much
really
cooler.
See it. I've got a bit of shadow. When was the last time you did some art?
I wonder if this counts as art. In lockdown, I got really into terrazzo, making terrazzo things. Is that what you call it? Terrazzo,
remind
terrazzo.
Me about that. Is that like Fimo?
Is it what?
Like, is it the sort of plasticine stuff?
No, it's like, I don't even know what you call it. You mix powder with a certain type of liquid.
Oh, and it forms like a paste.
Yes, and then you can put different colours in it. You know what I mean? Like terrazzo tiles.
Yes, I do.
Like that, where it's just lots of chips.
Yeah.
You make your own chips and then you put them into a mould of something. I made two coasters, which I was very pleased
with.
Oh, that's
cool.
I really like that. It's very therapeutic, and I like that you get a result afterwards.
Yep.
That you can keep. I did that in lockdown. But other than that, I don't think I...
Do you have to put it in like a kiln or an oven or anything?
No, it's jesmonite. That's what it is. It's called jesmonite. It's this... Like, I wonder if she'd call herself an artist. She's called Katie Gillies. And she basically, she makes all of these products, terrazzo products, but she made a kit that you could do at home.
That's such a good idea.
Shout
what, just for
you.
Lockdown she did that?
I think she does like workshops in person, and then over lockdown, she started doing ones that you could buy and do at home, because what else were you supposed to do with your time?
It's a clever business idea. Did you do GCSE or A-level or anything?
I did GCSE. I think I wanted to do A-level, and my history teacher wouldn't let me because she said I was too good at history.
Wow.
And that I'd done too many arty, like I'd gone too arty with my choices, because I think I tried to do...
Why did she have so much authority over you, the history teacher?
I think in hindsight... Look, I did end up doing history, and then I ended up doing history at university as well. So to be honest, she was correct.
She knew. Yeah, you were really good at history.
But I learned further down the line. And I think I forgot this because, you know, I was a child.
Mm.
I saw her
child
at...
Child star.
A child star. Yeah. I was too busy learning lines. She I saw her at a school reunion and she said something to me. I can't remember what it was. It was quite intense, but it was quite sweet. She lost her mum when she was very young.
Mm.
And she must have told that to me at school and I didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone, you know, if you have a dead mum, everyone who else who has a dead mum wants to be your friend. And all can tell, they can tell. Yeah, and so she sort of said at the school reunion, it wasn't like she was warning me, but she was like, it gets very difficult when you have your own child because you miss having a mum to tell you what to do with your child. But I think... You like, basically,
keep
she
it light.
Yeah.
Spit your come on,
we're at a fucking school reunion here, trying to have a laugh.
That's quite sweet, though. She wanted to.
It was very sweet, and I think it was sort of that was where it came from. And okay, I love history. Big old fan of it.
Well, it's about the teacher, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
I did art and drama and English, and they were my favourite teachers.
I think we had some quite bad art teachers.
Oh really?
Well, it was like the art room was like somewhere that you could just sort of faff about and do whatever you liked.
Did you go to?
I did. Maybe cut out a bit about school. Just so nobody knows where I went to school.
Are you embarrassed?
No, I'm not embarrassed. I just get panicked about locations, people knowing my location.
Sure. Cut that.
Not that I have been at that location for 15 years now.
You surely have stopped going to school.
I have. I did stop going to school quite a while ago. But I don't know. I always get panicky about people knowing things about you.
I think that's legit, especially as you had a stalker.
I did have a stalker. Can leave that bit in. You can talk about that if you want.
Well, I think you're better placed to talk about it than I am.
Well, I had a weird... It's a very weird story. How am I going to do this shadow like that? Because it was completely... I didn't know this man. And now that I've had a stalker, I know loads about stalkers. It's like when I had gout, or I was told I had gout. And I learned loads of stuff about gout. And it turns out I didn't actually have gout.
That's a real sort of Henry VIII disease.
Yeah, yeah. I'm an expert. It's now my...
What did you have that you thought was gout?
I had... still actually probably couldn't tell you. I've got... do you know what the sesamoid bones are? They're these two... Everyone has these two tiny bones just under their big toe.
Right.
And basically... from like either from a lot of impact or some other reason, they can split one of them. So I now have three bones, tiny bones, where there should be two. And it presents. Thank you so much. I did actually have to have an ultrasound on it to determine that, which felt like I was having a baby.
In your feet?
Yeah. It's really good fun. They put the jelly on and everything.
Wow. Boy or a girl?
It was a boy, of course. Oh. Causing trouble. So the stalker, now I know loads about stalkers because I had one and have had to do loads of interviews about it. And actually my friend Shirin, who I met because of having a stalker, she did a big campaign for Vice, I think it was, about stalking. She's a top-notch journalist.
Oh, cool. So you met her because she interviewed you about it?
Yeah, she was doing a campaign about trying to get a national stalkers register, which still doesn't exist, by the way, which is madness. But yeah, she... Most people, stalkers are people that they know.
Okay.
And my one was a completely random man that I had never met or communicated with from Twitter.
And how did he find you? Because am I right in thinking he turned up at your house?
He did. It was when I still lived with my dad. And so basically he paid a directory's website for my address. I know.
That's
which
wild
is really
that you
mad
can do
because
that.
Also I don't think I was on. Like, I'd only just got back from university, so I don't think I'd registered to vote there or anything. So technically, my address shouldn't have been listed, but maybe he found out my dad's name. Yeah.
Very scary.
Yeah, weird. And then we had to go to court. It was madness.
So he turned up at your house. Are you happy to talk about the actual time he turned up? Because had he tried to contact you before that?
He, like, yeah, but only on Twitter.
Mm.
Like, he was on the spectrum. I found that out from looking at his tweets.
Yeah.
And it seemed, again, from his tweets, that he thought everything that I wrote was directed to him. He thought it was all addressing him.
He's not the Mickey Mouse artist, is he?
Who's the Mickey Mouse artist?
The one who gave you the drawing of you at Disney.
Oh my god.
That would be in the movie.
In the episode of you, in the series of the you that is based on my life. Yeah. And it is that guy. We almost said his name then.
No. He's fine. Don't say his name.
Don't say it because I have to edit out a lot of things. it was weird. I've written a blog about it. You can just
read that.
It's a
very good blog. I have read
it. Oh, thank you. Yeah. It was a weird day because it was my brother's birthday, 16th of December, for the fans, Ben and Tyler fans. And I wasn't well, so I was, like, in bed. And the doorbell kept ringing and I was really lazy and couldn't be bothered to answer it because I didn't feel well. Do you ever do that? You know, in the same way that, like, if someone calls, because we're all millennial avoidants, do you ever be like, oh, just text me? Do you ever do sometimes the front door version of that where you're like, I know that it's not someone that I need to answer the door to, so you won't answer it?
So you don't answer the door to the stalker initially?
Oh, no. Yeah, so I didn't. Maybe I've got trauma around answering the door. It's that. Something to go into with my therapist in the new year. It rang loads of times. And I'd say it rang about four times in the morning. And I finally answered it about 12 o'clock because I'd gotten up to make myself some soup.
Were you home alone?
Yes. And I answered the door and it was this very scary man who I immediately recognised because his Twitter picture looked like a photo fit. It was petrifying.
Oh God.
And he was there dressed.
You knew
like,
who it was straight away.
I knew who it was because I'd blocked him. Like it was I'd noticed basically he'd sent me lots of messages and then the thing that made me block him, it's not messages but public tweets. Mm. The thing that made me block him was he'd like written a blog and sent me the link to it. So like I read it and it was literally addressed to, it was called Beth. And it was, it was a blog basically saying, I feel like we're talking to each other. Like, correct me if I'm wrong. And he was very wrong.
Did you correct or did you just block?
I didn't. I just blocked. But because basically I was on a tube and I was underground, I tried... I think this might have been before tube Wi-Fi. What a time. Has it made things better? Don't know.
I think it just makes me not read as much because I'm like, oh, I'll just check my phone at every single stop when I can connect to the Wi-Fi.
Used to do on the tube.
Yeah. But it's also nice if you're sort of...
I used to eat yogurts on the tube. I used to eat lunch on the tube.
Did you? Yeah, I remember doing my makeup on the tube.
Yeah. Now it's just
dream of it,
trying to check if you've got a WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I basically blocked him when I was on the tube and accidentally, this at the time, the follow button was right. There was a block button and it was right next to the follow button. And I accidentally clicked follow. So the only evidence that he had in court that he'd ever had any communication with me was he had an email that said I'd followed him. And I think it was on a day in September.
So you came face to face with him in court?
No, I asked to be behind a screen because I didn't want to look at him.
That's very
Because I was petrified of him.
So you recognise him on the... Do you open the door if you've got a camera that you can see?
No, I opened the door. This was before Ring doorbells.
And did you...
What a lovely time.
What did you do?
Oh, well, I answered the door and then I immediately recognised him and I screamed and panicked and ran upstairs because we were living in a top floor flat.
Mm.
I could see people walking past the house and looking down the alleyway where the front door was. So I sort of knew he was still there.
Had you managed to shut the door when you ran upstairs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he didn't try and like get in the door. But then I called the police.
What a nice guy.
Yeah, what a lovely boy. And he just sat outside waiting. I was really panicked that he would run away because I'd screamed. But the police then got there and he told them that we were in a relationship. And yeah, and he had like...
But they hopefully did not believe that.
No, no, of course not. They were like, well, the woman inside is incredibly distressed and has called the police, so it doesn't seem like you're in a relationship with her. Yeah. And, like, what evidence do you have? It was really funny because he said that a movie producer introduced us. Which
I wish someone that is not in the industry would think of to say.
Yeah, just a Hollywood producer introduced you to a child star sketch comedian. It was weird back and forth where basically in order to prove to the police that I, or to show the police how I knew who he was, I was like, showed them his Twitter and he'd been tweeting all day about being outside my house.
Oh my God.
Waiting for me. And basically after I had screamed and slammed the door, he tweeted, once you've got over your shock, why don't you come back down and we'll have a coffee? Which, I mean, isn't funny, but it is sort of funny.
It's funny how, like, on the one hand, it's incredibly threatening, but then the coffee thing just, it's like...
Pop down and we'll have a frothy coffee. Come on, I've travelled all this way.
Actually, that sounds lovely.
Yeah. Why did I say no?
Come in, I'll make a coffee.
Yeah, so it was a weird thing. And I think I did get very, like... Because my front door was down an alleyway. I then got very scared to leave the house.
Oh, Beth, it's absolutely horrendous.
It is quite horrendous, but it's a story to tell, suppose.
And what have you... You said you've learned a lot about stalkers.
Yeah, well, because Shirin contacted me saying she was doing a campaign about stalking, she was... basically told, you know, I learned a lot of facts from her because she basically told them to me whilst interviewing me, that, you know, most people know their stalker, etc., etc., like most people are murdered by their stalker, like, which it's, and it's usually like an ex-partner or etc., 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 etc.,
etc., etc.
Being so blasé about just stalking, etc., really, etc., you know, the gist. And my case, like, Lily Allen had I remember reading that article. I think that was what made me write my blog.
Mm.
Because she had this stalker and nobody took it seriously. And then he was in her bedroom. Oh, he was just in her bedroom. And he was like, it's a lot to do with mental health issues, oftentimes. Is that a phrase? And,
but was her... But that's really unusual for you to read.
Well, I think that article basically said the stuff being like, there's no stalker's register.
Yeah.
Which just means that he could do that again because there was no term for what he did. Like, and even with my stalker, they were like, they had like a little note by his name saying that he'd done this to someone else, to another woman, but it wasn't on his official report. That's so it was awful. Only because the police officer who attended my crime sort of let slip.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
That
even
I
really
found that out.
Let you know that, should
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they shouldn't. And then I was like, can you please let me know? Because they were then taking him, they were like, so what we'll do is we'll take him into custody in the local area. And I was like, can you please let me know when he leaves? Because he came all the way from Somerset. So, and I was living in London. So he travelled all the way from Somerset to where I lived. And now he was in the police station where I lived, knowing my address.
Mm.
And I was like, when he gets out, he can just come straight back here. Because we don't have a restraining order in place. And then they put a temporary restraining order in place, but for the wrong borough. So if he'd turned back up at my house the next day, which he very well could have done, they wouldn't have been able to arrest him because they'd written the borough down wrong. Then a month later, they were like, oh yeah, he was released the next day. I was like, okay, well, I literally didn't leave the house for like 2 weeks because I was so scared.
That's incredibly that he'd be there.
Yeah.
And then what was the result of the court case?
I got a restraining order.
And is that forever?
No, I think it was for 3 years.
And so then, that's lifted now?
Yes.
And
but don't tell him that.
If anyone who's listening, hopefully not, has a stalker, what advice would you give them?
Hopefully nobody's listening. Stalkers, I would say, just screenshot everything. Obviously, if it's in person, try and take photos. But with online stuff, any communication or anything that they send you, screenshot it.
Thank you.
Ring doorbells, take a picture of them on Ring doorbells if that's where they are. That's how they got the whatchamacallit in the Sarah Everard case, isn't it? The case.
Oh, it was from a...
They saw her on Ring doorbells and they saw her get in the car. Mm. Anyway, that's a lovely, lovely Christmassy anecdote for you.
Paintings or sculpture?
Paintings.
Portrait or landscape?
Landscape, I'm going to change it.
School of comedy or school of rock?
School of comedy.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
No. Yes and no.
Torch. Torches or tortured artist or rational recruiter?
Oh,
I missed that out the first time.
Tortured artist every time. Boring to be a recruiter, isn't it? Sorry to recruiters.
Sorry to all of our recruiters.
Cut that bit.
Talk about or think about art.
Talk about it so that people can tell you what you're supposed to think.
Looking at a painting close up or far away?
Close up.
Private.
You want to touch it, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, get in there.
Private view or view of privates?
Private view because you get free food and drink.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Life.
Art or music?
Music.
Art or books?
Books.
Acting or writing?
I might change my answer now. Acting. I want more acting work.
And comedy or art?
Comedy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Auditions are so embarrassing regardless.
Yeah.
And I've heard of people, I think big actors do that thing where they have the confidence to go in already doing the accent that they're supposed to do, which I just think is one of the most embarrassing things you can ever do.
So
for them personally and for the people in the room.
You know, I had this tiny part in a film called The People We Hate at the Wedding.
I do.
The Prime.
On Amazon Prime.
On Prime Video.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
Oh, I don't like my nanny.
The lead role, Cynthia Adey Robinson, she... to all of our knowledge, was British. She was brought up here. Her mum lives here. And did this amazing accent.
Yeah.
We found out later because I thought she was English. And then
at
the rap party, she was like, hey, so nice to see you. And I was like, what? And she was American and she'd been going method on the part. And even when we were not filming, she was just chatting to us in this posh British accent. And it blew my mind. I felt like she was a traitor.
I wouldn't be able to commit to that.
I'd get too embarrassed.
Yeah. Is that an English thing, though?
Maybe. Okay.
Okay, look, give me one more minute to do the bushes in the
background. Yeah, do the bushes in the
background. I've just noticed. I've done too much green. And it's not even that green a picture.
I think there's a lot of green. You've got all the grass, you've got all the...
There is a lot of grass, yes, correct.
If you could own any artwork in the world, what would it be and why?
Oh,
you don't have to say why. That sounded like blind date.
What kind of pizza topic would you be in and why?
God, that was a good show.
Such a good show. I knew someone who was on that. My dad's friend Kiki went on. And as a six-year-old, this was
huge.
The biggest thing that ever happened. Still remember it till this day.
She get a good date.
She wore a tutu
She wore a tutu to go on blind date, and she won. She went on the date.
Amazing.
And never saw him again. Married a lovely man named Robin, who runs Soho Dairy, a stall in Soho that sells, you guessed it, dairy.
So what artwork would you choose?
Yes, what artwork would I choose? Do you know the artist that I really like? I think I was quite into, not like pop art, but I'm not good at things. I like things that look aesthetically nice.
Yeah. Graveyards, etc.
Graveyards, etc. I went to go and see the Francis Bacon exhibition with my dad in the, was it at the Royal Academy? For his birthday last year.
I can't remember actually where it was.
And I really didn't like it.
Oh,
it was very low vibrational. All of the pictures were really sad and not nice to look at. It made me come out of there feeling quite like
edgy.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Apart from the ones that were like the bullfighting ones. And even they weren't that nice. They were just the best of a bad bunch.
Oh, they're my least favourite of his.
Really?
I like his dark sort of blurry people.
Yeah. It was just very torturous. And like, I didn't want to stay too long looking at anything.
Yeah.
And that's me being very honest about my opinions on art.
Thank you for being so honest.
But I really like the artist Barbara Kruger.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know her?
Don't know if I do. What sort Ever of stuff did does she do?
She did a lot. She's the one who does a lot of like black and white images with like the red blocks with the white writing on. There's one in the Tate at the moment, which is, oh, I forgot what it is. But there was one part of it is a little girl that is putting her thumb to her nose and sticking her tongue out and saying, and it says no over it, which I love.
I have seen that. Yeah.
She was very like 60s.
Quite sort of kitsch, aren't they?
Yeah. And the other one that I like is, I think she's called, she begins with a B, the one who did like the lots of the black and white dots thing. You know the one.
Oh, Bridget Riley.
Bridget Riley.
Yeah.
That's my kind of shit.
Op art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely.
That's what I like. Stuff, and I also like, I don't know who does this, but acrylic. It just makes me want to touch every painting.
This is acrylic.
Is it? Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, that's why I want to touch my paintings so much.
That is lovely.
Yours is so good.
Yours is so good.
Oh, you've signed yours. I haven't signed
mine. Oh, yeah, can you sign it, please?
Yes.
You've got the colours perfectly.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you have, and I like the shapes in yours. You've done like.
Where's that come from?
You've done. Are these the trees?
The famous trees, yes.
Yeah.
The famous Hollywood Forever.
Feels very sort of ordered.
Trees. Yes, I am a perfectionist.
Yeah, you can tell.
How am I? Oh no, that's
the
bad.
Shadow's very good on the gravestone.
BR
Bridget Riley.
That's me, Bridget.
That's you. Thank you so much, Beth.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love it.
Look at that.
It's lovely. Beautiful.
Lovely big shadow.
It's quite dark, aren't they? And thank you to the Rood family for letting us paint your
Isidore,
well, we don't technically have the consent.
Isidore and Ida. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Isidore and Ida, thank you very much.
Thank
and
you.
Beth, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, then please give us a nice little review. 5 stars and some pleasant words. Why not? It's the new year. Love and light all round. Remember to follow Beth on social media. She's at Beth_Rylance on Twitter and at TheBethRylance on Instagram. If you want to see our artworks, remember to follow Secret Artists on social media. We're at Secret Art Pod. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Bye.
Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.